the epistle of James the Apostle, chapter 1. Thank you, Mrs. Leland. And I'm so glad you gave us a heads up on that hymn number because it meant so much more to me. I enjoyed it immensely. Excellent. Excellent. Praise the Lord. Look at James chapter 1, verse 1. I hope tonight, by the grace of God, that I can be a blessing and I can encourage you. I don't know that I'll give you anything you don't already know. But look at James chapter 1, verse 1. Are you there? The epistle of James the Apostle. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As you know by now, my theme for this year is steadfast. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, be ye steadfast. Steadfast, that's determined, it's fixed, it's consistent. In the Christian life, consistency is necessary, it's important. And when you look up the word steadfast, or a variation of it, steadfastly, or steadfastness, you'll find it 23 times in your Bible. And that's significant. That's significant. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be faithful. Be consistent. You'll find it 23 times in the Bible, but you will find the principle throughout the entire Bible. You'll find it in so many places. In Psalm 62, verse 6, David said, I shall not be moved. That's steadfast. And Joshua said, Joshua 24, 15, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's steadfast. Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. My Savior was steadfast. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's steadfast. Well, in this passage, I want you to notice verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's steadfast. If you look up wavering, the first thing you'll find in most dictionaries is to move to and fro one way or the other. But then the second definition, well, the second that I found, is to be unsettled in opinion, to vacillate, to be undetermined, to fluctuate. Oh, that's where we are. Nothing wavering, not changing, not compromising, not backsliding. Nothing wavering. Now, the challenge with that, in concept, oh, that's right. I believe the Bible. I've learned principles from the Bible. I'm going to practice those. This is the way it's going to be at my house. This is the way it's going to be in my life. But I want you to notice, please, verse 2. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy if you fall into divers temptations. Did you see that? Is that what your Bible says? It says when. When. When you fall into those divers temptations. And the complication with being steadfast is trial, difficulty, especially things that you might not expect. Sometimes, Christian, you'll be blindsided. Sometimes you'll be challenged. You say, these are my sincere, heartfelt, Bible-based convictions. They're non-negotiable. And then you find something that makes it inconvenient to practice what you just, the principle you believe. It's those trials when they come. It's difficult. And it's especially difficult if you've got children in your home because they face so many things. But I want to encourage you tonight to be steadfast and in this passage to never waver. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this evening, thankful that we can assemble here this evening. I surely am grateful for the fellowship of the brethren. I'm grateful for these wonderful hymns. I'm grateful for the new hymn for me that we just heard. I'm grateful for the brethren. But tonight I'm grateful for the reason we're here, and that's our Savior. And He certainly was steadfast as He walked this earth, and He's steadfast throughout all eternity. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the Scriptures and the fact that they are given by inspiration and preserved, and we can have complete confidence in Your Word. The Bible is steadfast. Father, help us to be steadfast. And I know that sometimes we disappoint ourselves. I know sometimes we face things that perhaps we weren't expecting. Help us to be steadfast. Be ye steadfast. We love you. We thank you. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen and amen. Gentlemen, is the live stream up? Got a brother from Mobile, Alabama named David Adams. Talked with him on the phone today. He's a regular listener. And what a blessing it is to know him. And I hope he's on tonight. I believe Michael and Grace Reagan and the Snyders are on the live stream tonight. We love you folks and praying for you. Gave prayer requests a while ago. But let's look at James chapter 1. Look, please, at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let me give you three things about that. Number one, wavering, it demonstrates a lack of faith. Did you notice that? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So wavering, it demonstrates a lack of faith. And it's so important that you and I are a people faithful. Listen, you're saved by faith. You're to live by faith. You're to walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And wavering, being inconsistent, being careless, being distracted, compromising, it demonstrates a lack of faith. It demonstrates a lack of faith. In this passage, it says, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Something very similar is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That we henceforth be no more children, spiritually mature. Grow up. Tossed to and fro and tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, deception, by every wind of doctrine. Let us be no more children. Now, we love our children and they're given parents, they're given families. One reason is to protect them because they're led this way and that way. Whatever comes along, whatever the entertainment is or the popular culture or whatever the latest fad is typically directed at the youth. And they go this way and that way. But listen, those of us a little older, those of us known the Lord a little longer, those of us with a little more maturity, you're not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Wavering demonstrates a lack of faith. And we're to be a people of faith. Number two, wavering affects everything in life. Look at verse 6 again. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wind of the sea driven with the... It's like a wave of the sea. Pardon me. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now look at verse 8. Double-minded man is unstable sometimes. Double-minded man is occasionally unstable. Double-minded man is unstable in some things. No, look what it says. In all things. A double-minded man... He thinks this way now, he thinks another way later, he's double-minded, he's not fixed, he's not determined, he's not steadfast, he's double-minded, and he's unstable in all his ways. He's like water. He is like water. Go back to verse 6. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, water is so very important, and we need water, and I'm thankful for water. But in this illustration, you're going to be like water. Water conforms to whatever container it's in. And water flows to the lowest level. And you see, that's the illustration. You're not supposed to be like that. I have stood on the surf at the coast. We don't go to the beach. I've stood on the surf at the coast at the beach and watched those waves, and they're remarkable. But you're not supposed to be like that. you're supposed to be fixed. Let me give you another one. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob calls his sons together. And he's near the end of his life, and he gives them, they're expecting blessings. He gives them prophecy. Genesis 49 verse 1, Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Well, that's thought worthy, is in the last days. So there's a lot here. But his firstborn is Reuben, and that's where he starts. Jacob starts. He says, "Reuben," this is Genesis 49 verse 3, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." Reuben must have thought, you know, I'm the firstborn. Excellency of dignity, excellency of power. He must have felt pretty good about that. That's verse 3. But then his father continued, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." Verse 4, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." Reuben, you're like water. There's no substance to you. There's no structure. You're not fixed. You go this way, you go that way. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." And that's the sense of it. Wavering in faith affects everything in life. You say, this one area, I believe this, and to do something different is not really right, but in this area, I'm going to compromise. Well, you set a precedent in your life, and it won't stop there. It doesn't. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And an unstable man, he is a double-minded man. He is unstable in all his ways, and wavering affects everything in life. Everything in life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." You see, he was double-minded. He had a profession, and at one time, Paul referred to him as a fellow laborer. But in the end, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." He's near the end. And he says, "Demas is not here with me. He used to be. He used to be, but he's not now. What's the problem? He loved this present world." 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father's not in him." Our Savior said, "No man can serve two masters." Matthew 6:24, "For he will hate the one and love the other. For no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And to be double-minded is to be inconsistent. It's to be this way over here and this way over there. You read about the church in its infancy in the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 2, you're about 3,000 being saved, baptized. What a revival. 3,000 being saved and baptized. Well, they had a lot that was right. Acts 2:46 says this, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." That's Acts 2:46, and there's so much there. Continuing is there, so much there. But I would point out, in one accord, they're all like-minded, they're all in agreement, they're all endeavoring to practice the same thing. I said endeavoring because we have challenges, but they're all in agreement. They are of one accord. And then, in the last part of the verse, it says, "They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." That's the opposite of being double-minded. Singleness of heart. That is, I'm fixed. I'm determined. I'm resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And wavering demonstrates a lack of faith. Verse 6, wavering demonstrates or affects everything in life. Everything in life. And you see, men and women of character, they have substance, there's something there. Those are the kind of individuals make a difference in this old world. And surely the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to be people of substance, of principle, of character. you read in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith. And then there's a whole list, the number one item on the list. The first item is virtue. Virtue is moral purity. Virtue is godliness. Virtue is integrity. Virtue is honesty. Virtue is a work ethic. Virtue is modesty. Virtue is faithfulness. And wavering in faith affects everything in your Christian life. It's a shame today that among professing Christians in America, there's this Christian popular culture that follows sometimes, most of the time to a lesser degree, the popular culture. And there's a generation of Christians that really don't know anything about biblical separation, being different than this old world. You will not influence this world for the Lord Jesus Christ by adding on more of the same. If you're going to influence the world for the Lord Jesus, you're going to have to be different. Right. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. So wavering demonstrates a lack of faith. Wavering in faith affects everything in life. And then number three, wavering hinders fellowship with God. And that's really what this passage is about. It's about fellowship with God, and it's about answered prayer. Now notice verse 6. Watch it. Notice verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Ask what? Well, look at verse 5. Verse 6, let him ask in faith. Ask what? Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith. You see, that's the request. If any of you lack wisdom, anybody here lack wisdom? My hand is high, high, high. Any of you lack wisdom? So it says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, being consistent, being faithful, being steadfast. Steadfast. It is that which makes fellowship with the Lord so very blessed, so very profitable, so very available. Now, by the way, let me just back up. Fellowship with the Lord, it follows relationship with the Lord. You put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved for all of eternity. You're adopted into the family. You are now a child of God. And you have relationship. You have a heavenly Father. The Lord said to those Pharisees, they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. John chapter 8. And the Lord said, you're of your father the devil, and his lust will you do. You put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're adopted into the family and you have relationship. But if you go back to your childhood, there were possibly times when you didn't have the best fellowship with your dad. See, that's another matter. Well, I regret those times that I didn't have good fellowship with my daddy, and it was my fault. But it's all the more grievous not to have good fellowship with my heavenly Father. It's all the more grievous. Look at verse 7. Let's go. Verse 5, I'm just going to lift some things. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Look at verse 7. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see, it's about answered prayer. And the basis for answered prayer is what? It is faithfulness. It is to be steadfast. It is to be in fellowship with him, to draw near to him. Now, answered prayer. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. To ask in faith is to believe God is going to answer this prayer. God is going to do what's right and he's going to do what's best, even if it's not exactly what I might request, even if it's not what I understand, but his ways are above my ways. And it's to ask in faith, Lord, here's what I need. Here's my request. Here's my petition. Here's my list, and here's how I think it should be. But Lord, I want your will to be accomplished. You know, I'd heard some of the televangelists, and I can't tell you that I've seen any televangelists in years and years, but I've heard some of them say, never ever pray if it be God's will. Pray, hold God's feet to the fire and say, this is the way it's going to be. Wait. I serve him. He doesn't serve me. Let's get this thing in order. Do I not trust his will? Does he know more than me, or do I know more than him? Am I infinite, or is he infinite? I'm finite. So I would say, every prayer you pray that it's within the will of God. Amen. That's the way I look at it. But the point is this, wavering hinders fellowship with God. And in the passage, there's no answered prayer. Verse 7, that man that wavers, that's what we're reading about in verse 6. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. The Lord's not going to answer his prayer. He's not in fellowship with the Lord. For some weeks, I endeavored to preach to you about abiding in Christ. And that's about fellowship with the Lord, to abide in Christ. And it is the place of answered prayer. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. We're in James chapter 1. In James chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says this, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You ask and you receive not, you ask amiss. And husbands, I remind you that according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, if you're not treating your wife right, your prayers are hindered. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, if you are mistreating your wife, if you are dishonoring your wife, if you are taking advantage of her and manipulating her, if you are using her, then you are not on praying ground, that your prayers be not hindered. So in the passage, wavering hinders fellowship with God. And the demonstration there is answered prayer. But fellowship is not simply about answered prayer. It's about being in fellowship with him, being right with him, being near him, close to him in every way. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's steadfastness. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Why? Because we have fellowship with him. I remind you of the warning that is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. You come down to the last two verses and you find a warning. And it's so powerful. It's so relevant for us. 2 Peter 3:17, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Did you get that? Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. The wicked don't profess to be wicked. They usually profess to be more spiritual than other folks. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, it's one or the other. Did you get that? Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but, don't do that, but do this, grow in grace. That's fellowship. That's drawing nigh to God. That's knowing him. Nothing wavering. My point is this, be ye steadfast, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And you'll find so many times the Bible uses the word steadfast. But yet the principle of it, nothing wavering, so many other ways it's presented, the principle of it is found throughout the entire Bible. And guess what, Christian? You and I are to be steadfast. You get something settled. I didn't say you embrace something because it's a standard to serve in the church, although that has its place. I didn't say you embrace something because a preacher believes it. That may be worth consideration, but you embrace something because you get it from this right here, and this is clear, and this is rightly applied to me, and I'm going to believe this, and I'm going to practice this, and I'm going to be faithful. That's steadfastness. That's steadfastness. We go out and talk to people in the neighborhoods and endeavor to talk to people wherever we are. And you'll meet so many professing Christians who say, I used to believe that. I used to practice that. I used to serve in that way. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to be a deacon. I used to play my instrument in the church. I used to be in the choir. You hear so much of that. What happened? What happened? Unless you are physically hindered, you're to continue to grow in grace. You're not to go to a point and then back up and go the other way. Never waver. Nothing wavering. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Thank you so very much. Two questions as we stand together for prayer. Do you have relationship and fellowship? Has there been a time in your life when you understood your need of salvation and you understood that Jesus Christ paid it all and you trusted Him as your Savior? I would say to you again that conversion is not optional. The new birth is not something that some denominations accept and some don't. No, it's biblical. And without conversion, there is no genuine Christianity. Has there been a time in your life when you understood the gospel and you made a conscientious decision to obey the gospel? And that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to call upon Him. Do you have relationship? To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Is that you? Adopted in the family. You came into this world a natural birth and you became a part of the human family. You come into the Lord's family by a spiritual birth. Is that your testimony, relationship? If you're uncertain about that, don't leave without getting that settled, or at least knowing what the Bible says about it. You say, that's settled for me according to the Word of God. All right, do you have fellowship? What is it that would hinder you from being in fellowship with your Heavenly Father? What is it that would hinder you? Well, you could fill that blank in with many things. But it boils down to this. Being inconsistent. Being less than steadfast. Wavering. Dear Father in Heaven, I thank You for this evening. Thank You for my church family. Thank You for the privilege to assemble here once again. And Father, I thank You for those who have joined us by live stream. I ask You, dear Father, work in our hearts and lives and help us be a people faithful. Help us to be bold enough, wise enough, committed enough to make decisions and to commit ourselves to things that we know. Service, opportunities to represent You well. But then, Father, help us to be faithful and steadfast in those decisions, in those callings. My Father, I ask You to bless this time of invitation and this time of prayer. And I ask You to help us to be mindful to pray for these that are in great need and to minister as we have opportunity. Thank You for our Savior. We pray in His name. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. As our pianist... play softly a hymn of invitation. Dear friends, let's pray for these many requests, but let's examine ourselves. And by all means, let's be steadfast in prayer.